Back together again with you, chatting it up Tuesday style, October 21st, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. I wondered whether or not the starvation death of an 11-year-old girl thought to have been homeschooled should result in tighter homeschooling controls and protections. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio joined us with her thoughts on the possibility of increased state oversight over homeschooling, and the columnist and blogger Chris Powell dropped by for his monthly check-in on all the latest big stories, including his thoughts on the past weekend's No Kings rallies and an embattled member of the Connecticut State Senate. All right, look, I know I'm probably going to get yelled at, so come on in. The water's fine. You can start screaming at me if you want at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, talk or text. Listen, between the case in Waterbury a few months ago and a couple of cases before that, and now the case of this 11-year-old girl found dead in New Britain, we're getting grisly details about that. I don't want to give you everything here, but we have to come up with a way. And I know I'm going to get screamed and yelled at, because I always do online with the homeschooling advocates, and I understand. I have nothing against homeschooling. I don't know how many times I have to say that. And if anything that was instituted by the state would in any way, shape, or form have to do with curriculum, then I'd be right with you. But we have another scenario here, as weird and twisted and deadly as it was and is, you know, about this notion that the guy in Waterbury, the young man who wasn't seen or really kept tabs on for 20 years, and this 11-year-old girl, the fact that, well, the state thought they were being homeschooled. There might have been a check or two with the male suspect here. In this case, the little girl that passed away, apparently somebody put a different child online on a Zoom call, they're saying. Look, all this means there needs to be better monitoring of this. And how do we do that? And again, I know there are a lot of people who are fans of this show that also homeschool, and they don't want to get big-footed by the state about the curriculum, and they don't want the state coming in and saying, wait a minute, if you're going to homeschool your kid, then you have to include Johnny has two mothers or Julie has two fathers. No, that's not the kind of thing. That's none of the state's business. But let's admit something out there. There are a lot of crazed, and I hesitate to use the word parents or moms and dads. Maybe I should use instead of mom and dad, maybe I should do, you know, incubator and sperm donor or something like that. Because what happens sometimes here have nothing to do with a real mother or father. But it certainly looks like there's going to be some push here to increase oversight on homeschooling. So, you know, the homeschooling people, you had better come up with some suggestions here or some things that you'd be willing to go with. Because the more you read about these stories, in particular, this 11-year-old girl found dead in New Britain, it is horrible. It is almost beyond the ability to talk about here. But having said that, and I don't know the particulars of the case. I know DCF is involved here or whatever. But again, and you can't simply say, you know, you can't simply say, well, have DCF handle it or Child Protective Services handle it. Well, no, they're understaffed and overwhelmed as it is. But there's got to be something here that can be done, maybe in the short term. And of course, 99.9% of parents or guardians or whomever, mom, dad, grandpa, grandpa, who homeschool kids, I'm sure are fine. And they do it because they feel that's a better choice for them as parents and as people who care, and that's fine. But man, you read about this child found dead in New Britain, had not eaten for weeks. That's according to what the Warren says here from police. This version in the Connecticut Mirror, the child found dead earlier this month in a plastic container, had not eaten for weeks prior to her death. She apparently police say and the experts say, was confined and severely abused, but DCF did not get any reports of the abuse. That's according to a timeline of events released by a state agency last week. Jacqueline Mimi Torres Garcia was kept. I'm having trouble reading this, but you got to hear it. Was kept zip tied in a corner, lying on top of pee pads, and had been denied food in the 2 weeks before she died, according to court documents. The documents detail some of the evidence likely to be presented in the cases against the girl's mother, aunt, and the mother's boyfriend in connection with the murder. There has got to be better monitoring of this. I don't know what that is. I don't. I'm not an expert in police protocol. I'm not an expert in Child Protective Services or DCF. But were people paying attention here? And I know there were reports, apparently, that a different girl was used on a Zoom call. A Zoom call should not be enough. We shouldn't be relying on a Zoom call. Who thought that was okay? You have three twisted individuals here who are the chief suspects in the death of this little girl. And we need a better way to keep tabs on these kids. Now, how many are being homeschooled? I find numbers of anywhere from the low end, they say it may be around 2,000 in the state. The high end, it may be about 22,000. That's something we need to find out. And I'm all for the privacy of parents. I get it. You don't want your kids to have to read books that say, hey, you know, there are 17 genders. And you don't want your kids to sit through, you know, drag queen story time. I'm all good with that. Kids have enough to figure out. They shouldn't be poked and prodded with that garbage. But having said that, there's got to be a middle ground somewhere. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So we have the death of an 11-year-old girl that I guess was thought by state agencies and state officials to be being homeschooled, and there was somebody faking her on a Zoom call. That's horrible. So you tell me, what new safeguards should we put in place to keep track of students that are reportedly being homeschooled? And again, I don't want the state to come in and start bigfooting the curriculum. I don't. But by the same token, you know, you've got a couple of really heinous cases here, and there has got to be a better way to figure this out. All right, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What new safeguards, if any, should be put in place to keep track of students reportedly being homeschooled? And again, this is a question I wanted to pose today, because you can bet that there will be pressure to do this probably in the early part of next year when the General Assembly session is back in session. Now, again, I'm not talking about pressure to, change curriculum or make homeschool parents or guardians teach stuff they don't want to teach. Maybe it violates their morals or their religious background or whatever. But, you know, we've had a couple of incidents now, the one in Waterbury and the horrible story here about the death of this child found dead in New Britain here. And now there's a lot of finger pointing going on. Now, while DCF apparently had involvement with the family before, it does not appear, says here in the Connecticut Mirror, that the agency was aware of the 2024 abuse that ultimately led to her death. Now, the agency said Friday in a statement, DCF, and again, I'm not here to bury anybody. I'm sure this is being felt gravely by everybody, you know, involved here, wishing they could have done something else. But what's going to happen now? The agency saying Friday that the family had deceived them by having another child impersonate Torres Garcia in a welfare check on a Zoom call earlier this year. Now, number one, why are they doing this by Zoom? And again, I'm not an expert here. Is this a common occurrence that you do welfare checks by Zoom? I don't think it should be. But maybe that's just me. According to DCF, the family told them the child was being homeschooled, okay, and was visiting a relative out of state. All right, what was the relative's name? Did they give a name? Did they give an address? Did they have any sort of wondering, say, hey, we've dealt with these people before. We may not necessarily believe them. What town and state here? Okay, let me go and let's call the police there to do a welfare check. And again, I'm not sure whether or not any of this was done. Hopefully we'll find out more when we get to the court proceedings or there's more evidence in the arrest affidavit here. But man, oh man. And again, I'm all for parents or guardians homeschooling. I have no problem with that. I know a lot of people don't like homeschooling. A lot of teachers don't. A lot of the teachers' unions don't. A lot of progressive folks don't because, well, you know, they don't like the fact that parents can say no. I don't want my kid to read Jerry has three daddies, Julie has four mommies. You know, no. I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with keeping your kid away from that. But I'm telling you, the homeschooling community in the state, they had better get out in front of this and say, okay, here's what we might suggest, because it's unfair that all of a sudden now these cases by, you know, some of the media people in this state and some of the anti-homeschooling people in the state are saying, well, you know, when you allow people to homeschool, this is what happens. Now, question is, how many homeschool kids are in the state? Now, I did a quick AI search here. And it says here, the most recent available figures for the 2023 and 2024 homeschool year is 1,857. And that's according to the Department of Education. But the exact number is hard to figure out because Connecticut has low regulation and not all parents submit the intent to homeschool form. Well, they should. See, that's number one. That's the first thing I would do. The first thing I would do is make sure by law, if you're going to homeschool your kid, you should let the state know. What's wrong with that? Well, it's privacy, Paul. Yeah, but you know what? There are a lot of moron parents out there. I'm not saying parents who homeschool are morons. I'm not. They may be the smartest ones out there. But come on. We're that lax in this thing that we don't even tell custodial parents they have to submit a form here to just let us know what's going on? I mean, that's a little nuts. I know people out there are saying, hey, that's the ultimate personal freedom. Well, you know what? Not every freedom is without some sort of common sense regulation here. How do you do that? Once again, roughly 1,900 students, the state says, are homeschooled, but not all parents submit the intent to homeschool form. They should. How does it make any sense not to tell a parent, hey, you can homeschool, you just have to let us know? That is mind-numbing. That is absolutely mind-numbing. Song's like 45 years old, and it's still better than 90% of the stuff out there. I know, you sound like an old fat suburban white guy. I am, yes. All right, going to hitch a ride, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Megan Portfolio here of the aforementioned Hartford Portfolio and the Yankee Institute. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, guess what? I'm not as old as that song. Wait a minute. How many years old is it?
Going to hitch a ride. I think it's like 45 years. Boston.
Oh, shoot. I thought you said 55.
No, it's it's not that old.
I hate getting old.
I guess. Oh, man. Jeez.
So depressing. Man. It's not as good as the new Taylor Swift album, though.
Right. You went out and got it today? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I downloaded that, like, the second it was released.
Scale of 1 to 10, what is it?
6, 7. No, I'm just kidding. That's what the kids always say nowadays.
So you give it...
probably about an 8, 8
okay.
and a half.
All right. I forgot you're a Swiftie. Very
nice. I am.
Well, she said, listen, unlike a lot of white male get-off-my-lawn conservatives, I love her. I mean, her songs are good, but her business acumen... And the fact that when she goes on tour, she outpaces, like, the GDP of a lot of countries. Like, how do you not love that?
Oh, I know. I only had, like, 1/10 of that talent. I wouldn't have to watch CTN all day long.
All day long. Hey, listen, you're probably going to be mad at me this week. You're probably going to be mad.
No, I could never be.
Well, yeah, I think you might, because we were talking about this horrible case, this case in New Britain here. And I said the other day, listen, they're coming for homeschooling. I get it. But... I think to kind of quell the uproar, and we even had the woman who works for Governor Lamont the other day, the undersecretary or something about young kids or whatever, saying, hey, we have to adjust everything that happened here. I'm not against, Megan, maybe a better process here of just keeping tabs on these kids. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I mean, we already have laws on the books. Yeah. If you're a parent, it is the law that you have to have your kid educated. Like,
yeah.
They are already covered under laws. And I totally get what you're saying. And I get the other side of the argument, especially after this New Britain case. I actually didn't really like writing this column because it was this, I just don't understand.
Oh, it's a horrible case. Oh,
how
God.
This, what kind of, like, and they're not even human. It's evil. So I really didn't like writing this story, but it's the way the typical Connecticut government and how they approach everything. It's with, like, emotion and not facts or data. And the witch hunt on homeschool is continuing.
Yeah.
And it's actually said because they haven't even finished processing, like, the crime scene yet.
Yeah.
And we've already have lawmakers, like, taking a social media and trashing the homeschool community and, oh, there's abusers among you. Like, you don't get someone to the table to have a conversation about mm-hmm. policy change when you're literally calling them murderers.
Exactly. Throwing
them under the bus and deflecting the fact that we do have some issues with our Department of Children and Family. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't the first case. There was the Waterbury case. I mean, there's so many cases that don't even go reported that they have issues with. But they immediately attack the homeschool. Like, they're not going to come to the table and talk to you. Like, and if I was a homeschool parent, I'd be like, listen, like, you're calling me a murderer. Like, we're doing nothing wrong. These people are literally doing nothing wrong, the homeschool community.
And they're taking their kids,
and they're pumping out smart kids.
And we find out, too, that, and again, this goes back to policy and DCF and all that, not to throw them under the bus. The caseworkers there have an incredible caseload. But you and I reading the same thing here, like they got fooled by another girl on a Zoom call and they said, well, she's not here. She's visiting a relative. Like, and there's
why would they even consider doing that on a Zoom call? Is this like a byproduct of, like, you know, work from home thing? I think I did read in one of the articles that, you know, that's not the normal procedure to do. I mean, that should be never really be the procedure.
No. And again, I agree. I know people that have homeschooled their kids. A lot of people swear by it. And listen, you and I both know, Megan, that a lot of people who, you know, don't like this, you know, because parents can get out of, you know, Joey has three moms, or Johnny has, you know, three fathers or whatever. I mean, that's what...
Oh, my God, that's a nightmare. I didn't want any parents growing up. I couldn't imagine having three.
Well, but you know what I mean. It's a lot of people, because of religious or moral grounds, they don't want that. And you're right. I think what I think is the homeschooling community should get ready and have a plan of action to say, hey, wait a minute, hold it. We have some suggestions here that would make this better and maybe eliminate the stuff that apparently happened in Waterbury and by all indications did happen in New Britain.
Yeah. Good luck with that, though, because like I said, I mean, we had Liz Linehan from Cheshire.
Oh.
Another child supposedly being homeschooled to cover up her abuse and murder. Like, you don't start off a conversation like and imply that people that homeschool are murderers or doing something nefarious and expect, and then she ends it with, make some concessions. Why would they
wait
have
a minute? Yeah.
After you just talk to them like that, after you're basically labeling them as deviants.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And again, this is, and I've been telling people all day, just, but you know, be the bigger person here. You're right. Now, do you think that there's, maybe there won't be, but do you think there's going to be, Megan, and maybe onslaught is a strong word, and it's only the short session coming up because it's an election year. Is that time frame and the fact that it is an election year and people will get, you know, motivated by this? Do you think maybe this doesn't happen?
I haven't looked at the petition yet. I do know there's a petition going around with some regulations on homeschool, and I've seen it a lot. I don't know what they're up to for numbers.
Yeah.
But it is a short session, and I mean, I don't know if you attended a No Kings rally this weekend.
No,
I did.
No,
and
no.
There's a lot of demands that are coming down the pike. Actually, was it a rally or protest?
Demands?
I don't know. They keep calling it different things.
Demands for what?
More, you know, more with the environment, more social programs, busting the guardrails, tax the rich. I mean, it's just a whole menu of progressive
policies. They're not going to do it. It's an election year. You think they'll do anything beyond naming a post office after somebody? I mean, seriously.
I hope so. I mean, it'll be terrible for my profession because I won't have enough to write about, but I could only hope.
Oh, there's always stuff to write about.
I'd love to come on your show and be like, oh, my God, the scandalous thing of the day is they named a rest area after so-and-so.
Oh, my God. So yeah, you told me you went to the Middletown, right? You went to
Sample. Went to the Middletown. It was, I mean, it's fun. Listen, I've been to rallies for things that I supported.
Yeah, sure.
I personally had no issue with other people putting on rallies.
Yeah.
It was just. The makeup of the rally in Middletown didn't really reflect my community. We're very, very diverse here.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of like the boomer crowd, like white boomer crowd.
That's what I'm hearing.
Like Wesleyan students. And then then there was like some familiar faces because I pay attention to the activist world.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see a lot of out of town activist groups there. So it was very bizarre. I mean, it's totally peaceful. I had no issue with it. I mean, they had some speakers. People were sitting around with signs.
Good.
I walked away with, like, I thought I would walk away with a story. I walked away with more questions. Like, what's your ask? Like, what is it that you want?
That's what
like,
I said earlier.
I mean, are you rallying? Because if you're at a rally, you're supporting something. But if you're at a protest, that means you're against something. And they were calling it both. So I walked away more confused. the only thing that did annoy me, they had the F word and then ICE on these signs that they plastered over one of the main streets in my town. And I'm like, that was really not appropriate.
No,
I mean,
no.
You could have used a different word than that. But I mean, that was, it didn't upset
was,
me.
Were there any food vendors? Was there at least any decent food? No,
I didn't see any.
Oh,
no. There was a couple, like the Indivisible group had a table and they were handing out propaganda.
Okay.
But it was like an NBD. It was fine. I mean, they left it clean. They didn't litter the place or anything.
Good. All right.
But like I said, I don't know what their ask was or what the point was.
Yeah. Megan,
but
Portfolio.
I gotta give it to them. That was a great get out
to vote campaign, look, it's a good pep rally. And now, like I said, they have to follow it up with policy. Megan Portfolio, Hartford Portfolio. By the way, that song that we came in with, Boston, Gonna Take a Ride. I checked.
Oh, shoot. I used to have them on vinyl back in the old days.
That song is 49 years old, 1976. So
Darn it, I'm still older than that song.
All right,
I gotta go take care of the pup. He's all.
Oh boy,
all
go ahead.
Anxiety
go.
Today because we have workers in the house.
Okay, go. Bye bye.
I hear him crying.
Oh, go get poor baby. Thanks, Megan. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye.
All right, Megan Portfolio there. Right about every month this day or so, give or take a day or two, we check in with the great Chris Powell. Check out Chris Powell Column. .com, longtime editorialist and newspaper editor here in the state. Mr. Powell, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, I used to play softball a lot, too.
Did you really? Were you a demon? Were you on the newspaper softball teams?
Oh, I managed it. I played for it, played for another team. And
nice.
I wish I could lose another 50 pounds and go back and do
and
it
go
again.
Go back and play. So, but your knees and everything are still in reasonably good shape after that? Knees, hips, all that?
Yep, I've been very lucky in that respect. But
oh,
I
that's
guess
good.
I'm too old to play with the big boys.
You and me both. Hey, a couple of your columns, Chris. Before we get to the good Dr. Anwar, let's talk about a previous column you wrote. An effort here to do something that was kind of not odd when you and I were growing up way back then, the introduction of more Catholic schools or Catholic-based or charter schools to some of our cities here, something that, what a shock, some of the leftists in Hartford and some of the teachers' union people are not all that thrilled with.
Yeah, you know, if somebody had told me a century ago I was going to get married and have a daughter and send her to Catholic school, I would have vomited. And then I had, I don't know, maybe two or three decades of dealing with the public education bureaucracy as a newspaper editor, and I began to thank God there were Catholic schools in town. It's, you know, it's, the Catholic schools, at least they have some, you know, some standards. They have some discipline, and I'm just afraid here in Connecticut, public education is really not much more than social promotion now, and we see the terrible results of that, but we don't do anything about it. So I'm very glad that the new Archbishop in Hartford, Christopher Coyne, is planning to reopen a Catholic school in the city. I guess they haven't had a Catholic school in Hartford for, I don't know what it is, 8 or 9 years.
That's remarkable. I read that, and I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, well, they, you know, Catholic education is important to him. surprisingly, it's important to me now, too. But he is opening a Catholic elementary school in Hartford next to the cathedral. They're going to start small. Next year, they'll have kindergarten, first and second grade, and then they're going to try to add a grade every year till they get up to eighth grade. And of course, I wish them success. The schools in Hartford are very, very troubled, and I think a Catholic school with its standards, and quite apart from its religious doctrine, but with its educational academic standards, I think it could help you know, a bunch of kids in Hartford who could use the opportunity. So you know, I think public schools in Connecticut need competition. They are not upholding standards. Their only policy is social promotion. And Catholic schools or somebody else's schools could give them the competition we need and maybe spur them to reconsider their premises.
What's the over-under, Chris, on how long it takes the Connecticut ACLU to sue that school because the wearing of uniforms is oppressive? What do you think?
Well, I don't know that the ACLU will sue for that. But, you know, there is a federal legislation now that would give people federal tax deductions for donating up to $1,700 a year. I'm sorry, $1,700 a year to religious schools and other schools that give scholarships to poor kids. And I can, you know, see how the ACLU might figure, oh, no, this is unconstitutional. It's, you know, federal financial support that would end up with religious schools. But I think the Supreme Court would let that go through. I'm afraid it's coming to the situation here in Connecticut where just, you know, getting an education is becoming unconstitutional.
Yeah. I have my freedom, Chris, to be completely ignorant if I want to. How dare the school system help me? Chris Powell is the guest. Check out Chris Powell column. .com. Chris, apparently the No Kings rallies worked over the weekend. We still don't have a king. Interesting turnout. Listen, I said earlier in the week, I love people participating in legitimate calm protests. It's good. It was a nice weekend. 7 million people got out on the weekend. And a member of the Connecticut State Senate of some note, who has had his past run-ins with people, including Governor Lamont, Dr. Anwar, I guess found himself behind a sign that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but his party is standing right behind him.
Yeah, well, I should have full disclosure that I've had a run-in with Senator Anwar, too, a few years ago.
Oh.
Gave a speech saying that Hartford Current columnist Kevin Rennie and I should be silenced.
Oh, yes! That's great.
You know,
hey, Chris, Chris, that's great progressive liberal thinking, isn't it? Let's silence people, yeah.
Well, he didn't really answer for that very well, but, you know, he got some controversy internationally by, you know, holding a sign at the No Kings rally in Hartford, with a drawing of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a McDonald's Happy Meal,
yeah.
And you know, the sign said "Cholesterol, do your job." So he was, you know, making a joke of his death wish for President Trump. All I can say is, you know, in older days, in living memory, we had more standards than that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking ill thoughts of people in high public office is not a moral failing, and I'd be the first to admit that if President Trump wanted to visit the Titanic, I wouldn't stand in his way. But, you know, wishing openly, a public official wishing openly for somebody's death, especially the death of a political adversary, that, you know, that poisons the well of political discourse. And but I can't say that Anwar should know better. In fact, you know, Governor Lamont scolded him yesterday, saying that the governor said he found it, you know, offensive and inappropriate. I would bet the governor that most Democrats in Connecticut would agree with Anwar, that Anwar did the right thing, even if it disgusted the governor. I'd go farther than that. I suspect that if there was a poll of Democrats in Connecticut, you would find a majority favoring the assassination of Trump. That's how far we've gone.
And yet, finally, Chris, we had the No Kings rallies, and I said, well, that's great. But again, you don't win a game at the pep rally. You have to have a game plan here, Chris. And I am constantly astounded by the yelling and the screaming, with at least at this point, Chris, and I know we're a year out from the midterms and everything, but everything, excuse my language, is Trump sucks. Well, that didn't work too well last November, and it pains me to see the once great Democratic Party of JFK and LBJ and even locally, you know, Ella Grasso and Bill O'Neill have no ideas, Chris. Just everything is a scream here. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I wrote a column about this yesterday that I hope will get published tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The rallies were just, you know, a pep rally to rile up the political opposition. I think that, you know, the Democrats should get together and do something a little more useful to themselves and our political discourse than these rallies. I think they should be sitting down and thinking, you know, as awful as Trump is, you know, personally, you know, megalomania, recklessness, corruption, incompetence, contradictions, vulgarity, and sneering, all those things are Trump's, you know, personal characteristics. The Democrats should be asking themselves, why the hell did the country elect him? Not
mm-hmm.
just elect him. Why did they bring him back when we saw these characteristics in his first term? You know, what caused the country to think that, you know, Trump is the lesser of two evils? And you know, the reasons I put down is, well, you know, the you vote for Democrats, you get open borders and unprecedented illegal immigration and soaring inflation, worsening poverty, you know, racial preferences, political correctness, censorship, 24-hour abortion, men and women's sports and bathrooms mm-hmm. and prisons. And the odd thing is that all that stuff remains the political platform
yep.
of the people at the No Kings rallies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We will end on that. Chris Powell, thank you. Go ice down those knees, Chris. Keep them healthy. You never know. Chris, thanks. We'll be in touch, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris Powell. Check him out. ChrisPowellColumn.com.